Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Yes. It's that time again, people. It's FSP Crew time, and I'm here with my two co-hosts, Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker, and of course, I am JT, a.k.a. the Master, a.k.a. whatever you want to call me. Just don't call me late for dinner. Anyway, the number to call in is 347-637-3220, 347-637-3220. We also have a chat room. If you want to join us in the chat room without calling us up, you can do that. Of course, we're going to always engage in conversation to give you information about the crazy world, and there's some crazy stuff going on, the fantasy sports and politics. Without further ado, I'll cut it short. I won't rant like I normally rant, and bring in my two co-hosts so we can get this show started. Let's bring in the first guy, Jersey guy, and then I'll bring in the guy from the D.C. area. Talk to me, fellas.
Hey, this is Jeff. Welcome to the show. Let's do it.
What's going on, people? It's yours truly, Black the Bookie, and I just can't escape it, man. I can't escape.
What do you mean you can't escape? Talk to me.
Man, you know I'm a big, big boxing head, man, and even in the Olympics, they're finding a way to taint my sport, man.
Uh-oh. Well, tell me what happened now. I don't know about this.
Oh, apparently one of the boxers was offered $9 million by one of the countries to take a dive in boxing.
Are you serious? $9 million?
$9 million in the Olympics. Then there was a judging scandal. I believe three judges were sent home. One is on suspension. Just all kinds of foolishness going on with Olympic boxing. Very disappointed.
Wow. Speaking of crazy things going on in the Olympics, as everyone who watched the Olympics should know, and I can't believe it. When I heard this, I said, "You got to be kidding me!" It was the Chinese, the Taiwanese, and I'm trying to think who the other. Indonesia, I think it may have been. These were all people of Asian persuasion. And I'm not saying all of them were, but they were all disqualified. And put it in a half-ass effort in playing badminton in order to get a better seed when it really counted. I got a clip. I'm going to play the clip, and then we can go from there. But this is crazy.
The crowd was booing the women badminton players in London Tuesday night. They were dumping serves into the net and hitting the shuttlecock wide, apparently deliberately making errors to try and lose their match. And the referee showing them the black card of disqualification didn't appear to have any effect. But now the Badminton World Federation has thrown the eight players involved out of the Olympics, including the Chinese World Doubles Champions. Teams from South Korea and Indonesia were also disqualified. Apparently, they'd been trying to get themselves better placement in the later rounds of the competition. The International Olympic Committee applauded the federation's decision. The IOC had left it to the sport's governing body to handle the disciplinary matter.
They have a clause in their rules that players must make their best efforts, and we would applaud that. Clearly, that's what people come here to see.
London 2012 Chief Seb Coe called it unacceptable and depressing.
I mean, who wants to sit through something like that?
Such sentiment was echoed back home in Beijing.
It's against the Olympic spirit. If they intended to do that, definitely against us.
Recreational players may be relaxed, but athletes were suggesting one way to avoid problems in the elite game in the future would be to return badminton to a knockout format. That way, no players could afford to lose a match. Karen Sloan, Associated Press, London.
Now, I'm the only reason I'm playing is because Jeff kind of like, we really don't need to play this, but this is the FSP Crew Show, and if you listen to the theme song, we talk about all sports, and supposedly, I'm saying, badminton is some type of sport.
Tiddlywinks, you know, I'm great at that.
I feel obligated to talk about this crazy scandal of dumping games in badminton to get a better seating. And you telling me that in boxing that this guy whoever offered this boxer to dump a match for $9 million, and I also heard that, and if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if it's on a male side, but I think it's on the female side, that there's supposedly allegations against the Chinese swimmers for some type of doping. I don't know if you guys heard about that.
She came back clean.
But you know the thing is with the doping, that a lot of times they don't get busted for the steroids. It's the antidiuretics they use to mask it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And this is like deja vu all over again. 30 years ago, everyone was accusing the Russians because they were winning a lot of the golds and they were, you know, using the steroids and all that stuff. But now it's not them, it's the Chinese, because 30 years ago the Chinese didn't even care about the Olympics. But also, there's accusations that they abused their athletes, which, no, doesn't surprise me. And I'm sure it happens in other places besides China. But, we're talking real sports, not, you know, tiddlywinks or badminton. I mean, to me, a sport that you play on your front lawn, you know, that's not a real sport, you know. Or something that maybe somebody thinks is a sport once every 4 years, that's not quite a sport.
Right.
You know what I found out today?
Literally,
like 20 minutes ago, that there's a trampoline competition as well.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know trampoline was a sport.
The only reason I know that is a kid from Jersey is representing America in the trampoline competition.
Oh,
I saw it on the local news. Yeah, he's going to make us real proud with that trampoline goal, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, he must have gone down the shore a lot as a kid, you know, because they got all those trampolines down there, you know. And but, you know, I'll tell you, with boxing, I mean, it's a good sport. I mean, it's a real Olympic sport. But Olympic boxing's a lot different from pro boxing. And,
yeah.
I mean, the thing is, it'd be impossible to have a tournament with regular 12-round fights. So in the Olympics, it's three rounders. And they play patty cake in the Olympics. I mean, it's just all you got to do is throw a lot of punches. It doesn't matter how hard they are.
Right.
So not every great Olympian is going to be a great pro fighter. But the thing is, if you are, you know, but most usually, if you're good enough to win a gold in Olympics, you got to be a good boxer. And usually,
right,
you have a, you know, if you win that gold, that puts you on the fast track for the pros. You want to go back? I mean, God, I was a little kid. 76 USA Olympic team, Sugar Ray Leonard, Michael Spinks, I think Leon Spinks too, Howard Davis, and
right,
those guys just boom. You know, they didn't have to pay their dues as much as other guys and you know, early in their pro career because they had the gold, you know?
But believe it or not, we have a caller already that I want to jump on here and see. I think I know who it may be, but I could be wrong. Let's bring this caller in from the 240. Welcome to the FSP Crew Show. State your name and tell us what you got to say.
What's up, man? This is Mikhail. Hey, man, I ain't even press one, man. How you running the board, man? What you doing?
Hey, what can I tell you? I see you. You must have slipped your finger on a one because I'm sure seeing you here. Yes.
Okay. What's happening, fam?
What's going on, my badminton brother?
Hey, what's going on?
That's crazy. Hey, speaking about getting abused. I don't know if you guys heard about this or not. I don't think it was too widely publicized, but I heard about it. It was on a short time on the internet when the USA played the Tunisians. If I'm not mistaken, they did play the Tunisians. One of the times that they were in a huddle when the Tunisians were getting their ass handed to them, one of the coaches did a Bobby Knight and slapped one of the players in the head because the guy wasn't paying attention. He was looking down, tying his shoe, or looking down doing something and wasn't paying.
One of the Tunisians?
Yeah, I think it was a Tunisian, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, my God.
And the thing about it, he wasn't paying attention. And he was looking down, and the coach was drawing a play or talking or whatever. And the coach reached over to the guy because he was right in front of him and slapped him in the head to get the guy's attention. So this is some crazy stuff in the first few days or whatever of the Olympics. I also read – and now, I don't know if you guys heard this or not, but I also read an article online that – because of these elite athletes, and some of them are in the some of them have their events happen early in the Olympics, and they hang around the Olympic stadium, Olympic area, because
let's call it what it is. They go trolling.
They go. Yes, exactly what I'm saying. They go trolling big time. And it's like because these elite athletes and everybody looks so appealing to each other that it's on. It's on like you never and it's unbelievable. When I heard this, I don't know if I read it in the magazine, ESPN magazine or what. I know I read it somewhere about that, and I couldn't believe it, but I could believe it because the fact is these athletes train so much and are basically isolated because they're training so hard to get to this Olympics, and they have to spend as much time as is needed in order to be able to reach this type of elite status as an athlete, that when it comes time their event is over with, they can breathe a sigh of relief, and part of that is relief is finding someone either of the same sex or of the opposite sex. So I don't know how you guys – or you guys heard about that or whatever, but I had to bring that to light because that's one of the things that's going on in the Olympics right now. It's a party, and it's party getting started as soon as they got there.
Well, since you put that out there, I would like to know where the basketball groupies at out there.
Oh, speaking of that, did you guys see online, I forget where I saw it, either I saw it on Facebook or whatever, Kobe Bryant in between two females with his shirt off. He had his shirt off. He was sitting on a bench, and it was two females on either side of him. He wasn't touching them.
What's wrong with that?
But
hey, he's divorced now. He's a free man, you know.
No, he's not divorced. He's back with his wife. He's not divorced. No, he is not divorced.
Oh, I thought he was. No.
No.
This was on the basketball court?
No. This is on. I don't know where it was, but it didn't have anything. It wasn't anywhere close to a basketball court. He was sitting on a bench. I don't know what was in the background. I don't know what was on either side.
Was it like indoors, outdoors?
No, it was outdoors. It was outdoors, I do believe. And he was sitting on a bench, and there were two women next to him, and he had his shirt off. And
before you implicate Kobe in anything, Kobe had a little too much to drink and spilled something on his shirt. That's why it was shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It was a stain or something. He had to take off the shirt to pre-treat the stain. And he's friendly with the fans, you know. He always says, maybe he talks about, you know, how nasty these guys are, but he's connecting with the fans, you know.
If you're going to implicate anybody, let's implicate LeBron getting shot down by one of the swimmers for Team USA.
Oh, is that right?
He tried to put his beard in, son?
Well, let me put it this way. Supposedly.
No, hold up. Black talked to him. For real, he put his bed in, he got shot down.
LeBron put his bed in to have dinner with one of the U.S. swimmers, and she turned him down because she had an early meet the next morning.
So supposedly, it's this. The gymnastics, well, not the gymnasts, because they're pretty young, but that's not to say they can't get their freak on. But anyway, the swimmers and the soccer players, and I'm trying to think who else are like one of the wildest bunches to going at the Olympics in the Summer Olympics. So
only thing I have to say is I'm glad that I don't have a mother like Ryan Lochte. Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah, she said. I don't know if any of you guys heard what she said. He's only got time for one nighters. Oh man.
Well, you know what we say at Grown Soul and Real Talk. You know what I'm saying? I can make love to you one time, man. You know that could be for the rest of your life. I could be the love of your life. Only take one time.
Unbelievable. Anyway. That's what all I wanted to talk about. We got off a little bit about the Olympics, but that's part of what I wanted to talk about on the Olympics. Let's transition over to, let me do this because I want to get this out of the way. Because this guy, this team is like killing me. I mean,
What team would this be?
Oh, God. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Is it a team in New York? Are we talking about?
We're talking about a team in New York that's more interested in their press clippings and getting on either ESPN, NFL Network, or any sports station or any station to make some news rather than really play football.
Nah, you know that. Go ahead with that. You know, they won the Super Bowl last year, so, you know they're supposed to talk about them. You know, let them go ahead and get their shine on.
Well,
so, Eli saying something?
No. Let me put it this way. First, San Antonio Holmes says you can't operate, the team can't operate as a two-quarterback, with a two-quarterback system. And then the coach turns around and pretty much says for him to shut up, we didn't hire him as a offensive coordinator. We had hired him as a wide receiver. And now, Antonio Cromartie, who happens to be a DB, supposedly was put on the offensive side of the ball to be a wide receiver. And he was asked about it after it happened. And he said that he considers himself the number two wide receiver behind San Antonio Holmes. He don't think anybody else is better than him, and he considers himself the number two wide receiver. Now,
Now,
Chad Shillings, who happens to be a newcomer to the team this year because he got traded or he signed, I forget exactly how he got to the team, took offense to that and really didn't like it at all, and he felt slighted about it. And supposedly they talked about it. The coach said he laughed about it. But the problem is this, and I don't know if you guys see this. Supposedly Rex is cracking down and trying to get these guys from talking so much. Now the first 3 years, Rex Ryan was the coach. He talked a lot, and he didn't have any problems of his players talking all kinds of crazy stuff, okay?
Uh-huh.
I supposedly bought into it like a dumbass. But anyway, now this year, because of what happened toward the end of last season when he said he lost the locker room and he didn't realize it until it was way too late and all the things that took place in the last part of the season and in the off season. Now he wants his players to keep their mouth shut and basically do their job and not be talking so much. Now, it's a little late once you let the horses out of the barn to try to get them back in again, Rex, because the fact is you permeated this situation, and now you're trying to reverse it it's going to be kind of hard to do that. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but whoever wants to jump in and comment on about it, please do.
I'm confused because I swear I just heard him say maybe like early this week, late last week, that he was like, you know, he's the best defensive coach in the game, something like that.
Right.
He's been in the top three or top six or something. I mean, he was all swag with it, you know. And he was saying it kind of, you know, he was doing the humble swag, you know what I'm saying, saying it all matter-of-factly and whatnot. So I'm confused. So if your players is talking like that, you know what I'm saying, they talking with braggadocio, and you've been doing it for the past 3 or 4 years, you know, aside for the fact that you was out there playing with your wife's toes. But, you know, how can you justify that? You're a hypocrite.
You're exactly right, in my opinion. You started off like the way you started off for the last 3 years, and then now you want to change up, and you're trying to rein these players in that a lot of them have that swag and that type of attitude that they're going to say whatever they want to say, whenever they want to say it.
Right.
God.
Yeah, how you
going to
change it up?
Yeah.
How you going to change up? I mean, I wouldn't be mad if you just kept on doing what you've been doing, because, I mean, that's the way you've been doing. You know, as a matter of fact, I think, like, last year I began to kind of, like, you know, respect it. You know, I was like, okay, this the way he is. So now you trying to clean it up? Mm-hmm. I'm curious to hear what the propaganda expert got to say about it.
I'm listening. I'm waiting. Whoever wants to jump in, just go ahead and jump in.
Oh, man. I like that guy better when he was sucking toes instead of doing his food. I don't know why the Jets are on ESPN every single day from training camp.
Yes.
I just don't understand it. I don't even watch ESPN right now.
They on the NFL Network a day. They talk about them a day.
Yep.
Franchise
every day. Yes, every day. And then you're exposing
your goal line plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jeff, you gotta weigh in this.
Come on,
well,
man.
You know the thing is, and this is a good example. The other New York team, you know the one that keeps winning championships, you know that New York football team.
Mm-hmm.
When Tom Coughlin, who's probably the strictest coach in the NFL, when he first took over as head coach, there was a lot of friction. They weren't, you know, the players weren't used to it. He did ease up a little. It's a lot easier to ease up a little. Then all of a sudden become strict. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
And that's what Oedipus Rex is dealing with now, you know. He lost a lot of weight. I guess he's was on a strict diet of feet in the off season or something. you know.
Yeah.
I mean that guy is a freak. You know, he's lucky a lot of people like him. I think, you know, well, as long as they were winning, the fans liked him, and I think the media, the local media actually liked him because he was such a 180 from Mangini, who never said anything.
Right.
This guy, you know, Rex is a newspaper writer's wet dream, for lack of a better term, you know.
Right.
I mean,
right.
He gives these people something to write about every day. I think that's why they want to easy on him after that whole foot scandal, you know. Because they were winning, but, you know, he makes their jobs easier. But I'll tell you, I think Santonio Holmes is still hitting the chronic because that guy, I mean, he's not the sharpest tool in the shed. And a couple weeks ago, he was making these statements about how the media need to get behind the Jets. And it's like, does he even know what the media is? They're not the fans. They're the media. They report on the team. They analyze the team. So they're not cheerleaders. I think he doesn't even get the concept. But he got busted for reefer when he was in Pittsburgh. He hasn't got busted in New York, that just means he got better, you know. He hasn't got caught, because when he opens his mouth, it sounds like he's hitting the chronic. And I'll tell you, you know, I think the Jets, they got questions. I mean, the Giants, I can't remember the last time there was a Super Bowl team with so many questions going into the next season, but I love it. I love hearing that kind of talk, you know. I mean, when the Giants, the few times they start off fast, they fold late, and, you know, they're barely getting any respect after winning the championship. But the thing that the only negative, the slight negative about the Giants' two championships in recent years is that they, after the first Super Bowl they won, you know, they carried the momentum into the next season, which doesn't always happen, but they had a good young team. And if Plaxico didn't shoot himself in the leg, they could have repeated. It's not all on him. It's a team sport. But he was their best receiver. And I think they really had a great chance to repeat. And if they did, then you're talking Giants dynasty. That's the only negative about the two Super Bowl wins in 4 years. Did I mention that enough?
Hey, is Vic here?
Okay, Vic is not here.
Okay, good, because I'm about to take a jab at ESPN, and I know he had wet dreams about being on ESPN. But I really have a whole lot more respect for Eli Manning. You know what I'm saying? Because he came out and said, you know, because I guess they were talking to him about, you know, all the pub that Tebow and the Jets are getting and whatnot. And he came out and said, you know, I don't want ESPN camping out in front of my house. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, wow, yo, he just put it out there. And then, I mean, ESPN looked like they was trying to go on. You know what I'm saying? It was like when they were talking, they were trying to figure out, you know, a way to get at him and say something, and they was calling him boring and this and this and that. And I was just sitting there, and I was just like, wait a minute. They just won the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They just won the Super Bowl.
You know what? Yeah, it's a scam. You know, Eli, he acts like this, you know, simple country boy. He's probably a genius. It's a con. You know, one of his nicknames, the Aw Shucks Assassin, you know?
Right.
He passed for 4,900 yards last year. 4,900 yards. Nobody even cares.
Jerry, I didn't even get it until he said that. I didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I was falling for the Aw Shucks. And, you know what I think? You know, we play them twice a year. We just wait for one. You know, one interception and, you know, and just throw him around like a rag doll, you know? So that's what I think about him, but it really opened my eyes to him when he made that statement. Go ahead, Jerry. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Your eyes should have been open to Eli Manning ever since Ole Miss, man. SEC Conference, the mini NFL. Eli's tough, man. Don't let any of that foolishness you see him doing for you. He's a tough son of a gun.
Speaking of that, and someone did mention it, another NFC East quarterback talked about dynasty.
Well, at least it's the starting quarterback that's talking big in Philly this summer, not the backup. Michael Vick is preparing for his first real training camp as the Eagles starter, and he likes what he sees from a young core on the offensive side, featuring LeSean McCoy, DeSean Jackson, and Jeremy Maclin. When asked by Comcast Sportsnet in Philly what does he see from his team, this was Vic's response. I think we have a chance to develop a dynasty. When I look at our football team and what we have on paper, I think about when I was growing up and the great San Francisco 49er teams, the great Green Bay Packer teams, and the great Dallas Cowboy teams, how they just positioned themselves to compete and be one of the best teams out there. I think we have a chance to be that. Vic later went on.
All right, you guys.
Went on to say that he is not speaking about the dream team, but the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't want to hear about this crap from Michael Vick or anything coming out of Philly. Philly sucks. They're overrated every single year. Andy Reid is terrible. You're going nowhere with Andy Reid as a coach. You hear me, Philly fan?
Well, it's good, and it's just ironic that I have three guys that happen to be fans of the other NFC East teams on here. So that's pretty good. I'm gonna get a comment from the Redskins and Giants fan about what your quarterback competition from the Eagles have to say. Talk to me there, McCall. I know you got something to say.
I got mixed feelings on it. You know what I'm saying? Of course, you know I the good football scholar that my brother Black is. I really respect that. You know what I mean? I really do. And I don't like Philadelphia. I don't. Nothing. I just can't do it. The whole city just disgusts me.
Oh boy! Wow. Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, I'm telling you how I really feel. But but of course, you know, I've had a man crush on Michael Vick for like forever.
No.
I'm sorry.
Hey, I may want you to join one of my other programs on the Master Plan about.
Yes, I am a self-professed Michael Vick apologist. I'm sorry. The man is, I've never seen anything like that on the football field before, ever, in my life. You know what I mean? And, you know, so you know I'm geeked up about, you know, my quarterback, you know, Robert Griffin III, Washington Redskins. You want to check him out? Yeah, he's going to be kind of like that, maybe a little bit better. But anyway, I don't think that he was really, you know, saying too much, but I think he just was, you know, one, you know, looking at, you know, really looking at what he had, you know what I'm saying, and trying to say something or whatever. But we all know, of course, Philly, out of all the teams in the NFC East, there's only one team that has no Super Bowls. None. There's only one, you know, and of all the teams' head-to-head matchups, Philadelphia has the worst. Against all the NFC East teams that's in there now. They have the worst record. They have the losingest record of all, head to head to all of them. Yeah, and we up on them by about 10, 15 games, something like that. Something like that.
Okay.
But I don't know, man. Go ahead, Jeff.
It struck me as funny that Vic said that because. You can't talk about dynasty until you win your first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you got to win the first. And, people ask me the difference between New York fans and Philly fans. New York fans don't handle losing well. Philly fans don't handle winning well. That is an ugly bunch. But those are probably the rowdiest fans in the NFL. And, they hate Andy Reid, but I don't think they ever liked him. I mean, they hardly ever like anybody. They're just very, very negative. These are the fans, the legend is, and there is some proof to back this up, that they booed Santa Claus one year. I mean, I'm Jewish and I don't even do that, you know?
Oh!
They booed Santa Claus.
Woo! I thought I was dropping some bombs in there. Good gracious.
It's funny. I got a cousin that when he was real little, he thought he didn't get Christmas presents because he was bad, and they tried so hard to explain it to him because he was a wild kid. He was hyperactive or something, and they tried explaining, no, we don't celebrate that holiday. We're Jewish, and he just thought, oh, I'm bad. That's why I don't get presents, you know?
Wow. It always amazes me. Now, take the last four Super Bowl champions and whoever – I can't remember the last four – but the last four Super Bowl champions, and if you noticed, none of those guys on the team or even the head coach talked a lot of smack. They were pretty humble and just went about their business, and really were, I wouldn't say were surprised, but a lot, the Packers were, the Saints were, and the Giants were surprises. And they were quietly went about their business, didn't talk about how great they were, didn't talk about, yeah, we may think we may have a dynasty. So you would have to think that sometimes these guys would take a page from the former champions and say, you know, these guys never talked a lot of smack, just were humble, didn't even talk about any, didn't even come out their mouth about a dynasty. All they just said, we're working hard, trying to get better every day, and we take each game by game until, you know, whatever the final conclusion is of the season. And year after year, especially in the last few years, and I've said this before, these guys don't learn. They seem to start talking a whole bunch of smack, and it just builds and snowballs on top, and then you wind up eating your words. I don't understand it. And Macau, he's been hanging on for about 2 minutes. I'm going to bring him in, and you can say hello to your widow cousin, Victor.
Oh. Why shouldn't he be widow?
Hey, from where you are right now, Victor, you're getting belittled, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right about that?
Oh, dude, you know what, Jerry? You always put my private business out. You know what? Wait till I get out of school. Wait till I'm coming hard. You know? Hello, gentlemen. Because Jerry, he going to get it. He going to catch a hot one.
What's up, Mike? Victor? How you been, man?
What's going on, fellas?
I'm doing good. That's why I'm calling in.
Did you listen to the conversation we were having about the comment on Mr. Michael Vick talking about a dynasty?
Actually, no. Well, I guess I caught the tail end of Jeff talking about, you know, what he was saying, and then the other end. But I didn't know you guys were talking about Michael Vick. Matter of fact, I just got finished watching the Ron Jaworski sitting down with some portion and stuff like that. But, I'm going to give my two cents if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind. Go right ahead, Victor.
He's correct. That's all I got to say. He's correct. Look at what they have in place. Look at what the time he's had to gel. They're young. They have a great opportunity to be a dynasty. That's what he said. He didn't say they were going to be a dynasty. He said they have an opportunity to be a dynasty. So, I mean, it is what it is. And you can say the Ravens right now are a dynasty because they're extremely successful, but they just haven't won the Super Bowl.
No. Vic, thanks for joining us. You can be a dynasty. To be a dynasty, you got to win something. And, I mean, there must be a term for, you know, I guess you could say Baltimore is a perennial playoff team, and they're a good team, but they're not a dynasty, not even close. And you got to win at least one before you even talk about a dynasty. I mean, Philly's got talent, at least on the offensive side of the ball. They still got some questions on defense. But, you know, talk about,
they,
you know, we got the talent to win it.
Too.
Yeah, right. They got questions. They're not that solid. You know, and it's not easy. It's tough with the salary cap to have 22 good starters, let alone backups. You know, you just got to know how to work the cap and have 22 guys who are at least good and hopefully healthy. It's not easy because when you lay out the big bucks for the big, you know, the big name free agents, sometimes you end up being thin in other places, you know. But, you know, first you win one, then you talk about dynasty.
Well, Jeffrey, I'm going to call you Jeffrey since you want to go there with me. No, check it out, dude. I honestly believe that they have the makings of a dynasty. He didn't say they're a dynasty, guy. He said they have the makings of one. And
yeah, but you got to win something first before you have the makings
of
something.
I got that. No, you don't. If you have the makings of it, the Patriots had the making of a
you're,
dynasty.
You're drinking the Donovan McNabb Kool-Aid.
No. Listen.
No, the Patriots don't have a making, though. I believe they have a dynasty.
When they first went with Brady, you know, they had potential to be a dynasty and things of that nature. They didn't say they were
a dynasty. Yeah, because they won one.
But I know, but they had the potential to do it. The difference is Michael Vick expressed that.
Well,
yes.
Sometimes you listen to the media, and the media can get it right sometimes. Now, when the Packers won, when the Giants won, when the 49ers won, when the Cowboys won, when the Patriots won, their first one, I think all the media, every one of those first Super Bowl wins, the media says this could be a making of a dynasty. But they won their first one before they even said that. You don't say
I
before you win
that.
Your first one.
Honestly, if you're trying to – I mean, I understand the point fully, guys. I really do.
No,
but
you don't understand the point fully.
Yeah.
You're fully invested in the guy who just told you in his book that he didn't learn how to read defenses. He was almost 30 years old.
Yep.
This is a guy you're pinning dynasty on?
No, I'm not pinning dynasty on Michael Vick or Donovan. Donovan's not even there. But what I'm saying is, if all the talent that they have gels, they have, because they're young now, they have a lot of young players or almost to that age that you can say they're young but not old players, that they can be very, very potent and possibly win one or two, maybe even three championships in the next 5 to 7 years. That's my honest opinion because of the way they've acquired their talent. And Jeff brought up the issue of having 22 guys on that team that are good and work well together. You're right. You can have one or two stars, maybe even three stars, but everybody else has to play a role. And once they learn that role and they're pretty good at that role, those superstars become megastars, and the team becomes a dynasty. I mean, it's different when Vince Young said it. Who's Vince Young? Yeah, he won in college. Yeah, he was a so-so winner in the pros, but because of his attitude and the way he went about himself on the field, he shouldn't have said it. But Michael Vick is somebody that has taken a team to the NFC Championship game. They lost, but at least he's gotten them there by himself and Algie Crumpler and a decent defense. Once this team gets itself together, there's going to be an opportunity for that to repeat, if not better than that.
Well,
I just had a vision of my hand in your pocket. I think that now that the Eagles will not win the Super Bowl in the next 5 years.
You don't think they'll win one Super Bowl in the next 5 years?
No, they won't.
I smell money. I smell money. Which way is it going
to
go?
I smell money too. Mm-hmm. I mean, what? I love Black. I love you, Black. And I know you're about to get married, so I'm not going to hurt your wedding fund too much.
Oh,
no, won't hurt my funds. Not with the wide line that I see lined up every week. Won't hurt my pockets at all.
But I tell you this. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. Since this is a prolonged bet, if I lose that bet, no matter what happens, I will pay for you to go to the next Olympics out of my own pocket to cover the Olympics. Now, conversely, when you lose, you sending me to the Olympics.
We'll be at the Olympics together because I'm going to Rio regardless, whether you fund me or not. I'm in Rio,
okay.
Bro.
Okay. I mean, but is it a deal or not? That's my action.
Let's see. What's that? 5G, 6, 7Gs. That's about $8,000. Is that $8,000 for a 3 week stay in Rio?
I said I'm gonna fund you.
All right, let's move on. We got about 15 minutes left in the show. you guys can talk off air or text each other or what, email each other and go back and forth and settle this. Let's talk about Mr. Goodell and this article I got going here. With no insight to the labor dispute between the NFL and its officials, Commissioner Roger Goodell said Wednesday that he is comfortable with the idea of using replacement officials in preseason games. Goodell said he doesn't think using officials with less experience will pose a safety risk to players. Wait a minute, and this is a quote. That's why we've been training them for the last 2 months, and why they're on the field now is to make sure they're prepared, they understand the rules. As he was visiting the Green Bay training camp, replacement officials were on the field during practice Wednesday and are expected to stay in Green Bay through Friday's family night scrimmage. The Hall of Fame game between the Arizona Cardinals and New Orleans Saints is on Sunday. He said the members of the NFL Referees Association were locked out in June after talks broke down. And let me play this clip of an interview from Demora Smith about the lockout and some other issues in there.
The referees are still trying to come to an agreement, and you've been on record as saying that clearly don't want your players playing with replacement referees. If, in fact, by August 5th, the first preseason game, the referees have not come to an agreement and there are replacement refs, are the players considering walking out at all or not playing?
Even if we were, I wouldn't tell you. I know.
Come on.
You wanted an honest answer. But you know what? The whether there's a walkout, not a walkout, again, not the real issue. There are 150 or so referees who we consider to be the frontline people on the field when it comes to health and safety. We consider them to be really the first responders on the field about maintaining health and safety for the players. I mean, look, at the end of the day, referees are obviously there, for non-safety issues like time and illegal procedure penalties and things like that. But look, we look at the rules about penalties and the rules about water timeouts or things like that as health and safety issues. One of the things that we have stressed over the last 3 years, 4 years, is that when it comes to football, I want our players to not only think about it as a game, but I want them to think about this is the place that you go to work. If you work in a factory in America, I guarantee you there is one person in that factory whose job is workplace safety. What person is entrusted with workplace safety for our NFL teams? Is there a safety officer? I'll just tell you, the answer is no. Well, that's just a cultural difference in the way in which we see the business of football. I believe, and our players believe, that we should be engaged in every reasonable action to make sure that our players are working in as safe an environment as possible. So the question that I have when it comes to the referees, does putting high school and non-professional referees on the field increase the chances that you will have a safer workplace or decrease it? The argument would be that you probably aren't engaged in the safest practice to try to make and ensure workplace safety. We take a very real look at what a lockout is. A lockout is a tactic by the employer to put the employee at a disadvantage so they take a bad deal. That's what it is. Is this the best way to get their contract done when you and I would both agree that it probably isn't the best way to ensure the health and safety of the players on the field?
Well, I know there's language in the CBA not allowing a strike by the players, but if there are abnormally unsafe working conditions, is that something that could be actionable on behalf of the union?
An unsafe working environment is always something that is actionable on behalf of their union.
Bottom line, will the players take the field if they're a replacement left?
Workplace safety is always something that we can consider, and it is always something that we can choose to take action about.
That was over 3 minutes. I wanted to play that because I wanted to get that last comment in there that Demora Smith had. I'm going to go to Vic first, then Macau, then Jeff, and then Black. Comment.
My comment is this. I'm like Roddy White. I'm blaming Morris Smith for everything that's going wrong in the NFL right now as far as players, referees, everything. The reason why I say that is because he just said it himself. They lock you out and they force you to take a bad deal. And he was using that in reference of the referees. But it applies the same thing that happened to the players. So when the players accepted all these terms and crap about, you know, getting this, getting that, and not having this and that, it was DeMaurice Smith. So if DeMaurice Smith tells the players we should not take the field if they're a replacement player, I mean, replacement refs, you know what I'm saying to DeMaurice Smith? Hey, how'd that collective bargaining agreement turn out for us? Because we listened to you. And then I'm going on the field, collecting my check, and, you know, well, if I get hurt, I'm still collecting a check. And I'm like, hey, you know, when it's time to vote DeMaurice Smith back in, DeMaurice Smith is not getting voted back in by me. I'm like Roddy White. And I took a long way around to say that, but he did a bad job. We all thought he did a good job by getting him back on the field, but it was a bad deal, and the players trusted him, and he screwed them, and he's looking to screw them again, in my opinion.
Macau.
You know what? Sometimes I wonder if the bloodline just got all messed up or something, because I don't know what the hell you talking about.
Wow.
You know, I love you to death, but, man, how in the hell you going to blame this on Slim? I mean, granted, I guarantee you, Slim bungled the jump or whatever. He did. He bungled the jump. He messed up. But the NFL is out of control. I don't know how many times I got to come on the show and tell you that and show it to you and point it to you. Goodell and them is out of their mind. They out their mind.
It's not about the NFL being out of their mind. The question is about DeMaurice Smith. The question is about DeMaurice Smith asking the players to not take the field if the referees aren't the regular referees. But what I'm saying about that is it's another bad decision he's trying to get the players to do.
No.
That
he
is on him.
No. First of all, he ain't say nothing.
Okay.
No, he said nothing. All he threw out there, veiled, you know, very, very veiled threats of whatever, you know, on the weak part of whatever the collective bargaining agreement is, which is probably the safety issue.
Right.
But he didn't really expand on that either. He just threw out there certain things that they could possibly do or whatever. It sounded like more like the interviewer, you know, the person that was giving the interview was pushing him some, trying to push him there. But he really didn't, you know, respond to it. He had, because he's got nothing. He got nothing. And let me tell you something. These referees, you think the players got screwed over because of Ryan? No. They got screwed over because of the NFL. And these refs, they about to get it off the cheeks, too. They about to get it, too. I guarantee you. If they don't get their heads on right, you know what I'm saying? And most of these guys are professional guys, so they ain't really tripping off the money like that. See, the players were. This is their livelihood. You know what I'm saying? So you can kind of understand the position that they were in. You know what I mean? But if these guys don't sign in the next 2 or 3 weeks, look for the replacement refs to be in all year long. Because the NFL got the policy like the U.S. United States. You know what I'm saying? They don't negotiate with terrorists. This is an act of terrorism, son. You ain't gonna sign this money we putting on the table? Nah, we gonna lock you out. Come on, man. Come on, Vic. Come on.
Okay, Jeff.
Right off, I want to say I'm neutral on the issue of unions, because that's one of those things. Some people are 100% for, some people are 100% against. The NFL players, they have an association, which is technically slightly different than a union. But you see, if they're a real union, they're not going to cross it. They wouldn't cross the picket line of the referees. Nobody mentioned that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It should be. If you're a union person, and you know, some of these union guys, they bleed it. You know, they really, they're consistent. They never cross pickets. They always respect other unions. That, you know, I can't believe there's not talk of players, not because of the safety issue, just because they're not going to cross a picket line. But that's probably one of the reasons why people don't respect the NFLPA, and people say, yeah, that's an association for millionaires. It's not a real union. But the thing is, I mean, like I said, I'm neutral on unions. In baseball, the old umpires union ruined that sport. I mean, they got rid of that union because they screwed up. They had a no-strike clause, and they went on strike. I don't know if you guys remember that. I mean, they had a sweetheart deal. The price they paid was a no-strike clause. And then these morons, to put it mildly, hand in their resignations. The Major League Baseball must have been laughing. They accepted the resignations, and then they cried afterwards. Serves them right for being a bunch of fools. And football is the only major sport that doesn't have full-time referees. And the good thing about it is when these guys mess up, they get the hook. They're out of there, you know. And in baseball, there's still a lot of horrible umpires they can't get rid of. I would hate to see that happen in football. And as bad as the NFL refs can be, of all the major sports, they're probably the best and the most consistent. So I hope they can straighten it out.
Black.
Who knew that a nonprofit could have so many problems? Who knew? I'm not even touching this one. Right, if you need a ref, come holler at me. I'll take the $5,700. I'll take that $100 pay cut, and I'll come out there and ref for you.
Oh, boy. All right, we got about 3 minutes left in the show. I don't know if I even should jump on this. You know what? I'm not, because the fact is we got less than 3 minutes left in the show. I'm going to throw it out there, and I'm going to give you guys about 30 seconds to whatever you want to bitch about. I got 30 seconds for Mikhail, Victor, Black, and then Jeff.
I want to give a shout-out to Drew Brees. You know what I'm saying? I think him taking a stand and making a statement the way he did, you know what I mean? I thought that was admirable, and he did it correctly, you know, right after he signed his contract, you know, smart man, you know, and he was just answering a question.
Okay. Next.
All right. I want to say I'm going to enjoy Rio in the next 4 years or so, although the bet is for 5, if Black grows a pair of nuts and accepts the deal. I would also like to say that I have some of the best people in the world helping me out with this radio network, and I got my hand itching. So a lottery pick is about to be made, and I'm going to make some money. I'm going to take care of all of y'all, except Black, once he pays up his debt.
Oh,
anyway,
God.
I love you all. Can't wait for fantasy football to start. Black, can I please get an invite? That's all I'm going to say about that. And enjoy yourself. Celebration.
All right. Who's next?
I'll jump in since I'm being called out here. Since my nuts are the size of the sun and the moon and Venus and the earth all combined, I will be collecting that money in 5 years. People, I've been handed the keys to the car Saturday. Come hang out with your boy. I'll be bringing one of my college aficionados with me, my man Adrian Lee, one of the best college breakdown analysts that I know. I'll be bringing him along with me for the show on Saturday. So make sure you tune in. It won't be a Victor Gardner FS Saturday. It'll be a Black the Bookie Saturday. So make sure you join.
Okay. Jeff.
We didn't get into this on the show. Last I checked, there have been 8 players to transfer out of Penn State.
Yep.
I wish them well. because the players are totally innocent in this. Too many other folks associated with Penn State just don't seem to get it. And, you know, of course, these guys are getting a lot of static, you know, people saying they're disloyal and whatnot, and that's ridiculous. You know, you're loyal to your family and your close friends. Loyalty to your school or your employer is conditional.
Okay.
I give these young men credit for not drinking the Kool-Aid. I hope they all have successful college careers and lives afterwards.
Okay. We are in overtime. I'm going to close this show out. I'm going to thank Macau for calling in, Jeff, one of my hosts, calling in, Black the Bookie calling in, and last but not least, Victor for calling in and participating in the show. Tomorrow was supposed to be a show about Chick-fil-A, but excuse me, but Mac will not be around. I'll be alone on a No Chaser show, which is at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm probably going to be talking about more sports. I got a couple other things I want to talk about sports-wise. So I'm going to be carrying that over into Friday's show. And then stay tuned for the college preview. That's going to be on Saturday, the FSP show. That's going to be hosted by me again. I'm sure that whoever's listening is going to enjoy that for on Saturday.
Yeah, such a jerk.
Especially, it'll be just me and Black and Black's special guest, Mr. Lee. Am I right, Black?
Yes, sir. My other college football buddy.
We'll be breaking it down. And he'll be breaking it down on the college front. So stay tuned for that. And that'll be 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And on 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time will be on Sunday. It'll be the master plan. I've gone through the running backs. I've gone through the wide receivers. Now I'm going to work on the tight ends to talk about the tight ends and fantasy-wise. We're getting close to draft. Some drafts haven't been taking place already. So breaking down each position. After that, I'll be doing the following Sunday, I'll be doing the quarterbacks. And also, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but August 18th to the 19th at Atlantic City Convention Center is a fantasy football fest. There's going to be a lot of who's in there. Michael Vick, Phil Sims, Tony Siragusa, Otis Anderson. There's a whole list of guys that are going to be there, NFL guys, and it's all going to be about fantasy football and a meet and greet on a lot of other fronts. I don't know if you guys know about that. If you want to know about it, it's www.fantasyfootballfest.com. That's FEEFEST.com. That'll give you all the information about the ticket prices.
Vic, I need you to credential me for that so I can ask Michael Vick about his fantasy football dynasty.
You know what? You're being funny, too.
And Michael Vick will be there. Michael Vick will be there. Phil Sims will be there. Like I said, there's a Matthew Berry from ESPN analyst will be there. LaShawn McCoy will be there. Joe Theismann is going to be there. Brian Dawkins is supposed to be there. Bruce Harper, Bruce Smith, Byron Hunt, Chris Stolman, Howard Cross, Jim Kelly, Joe Montana, Keith Byers, Phil Sims, Tony Dorsett, Tony Siragusa, Lawrence Taylor, and Otis Anderson.
Okay.
It's a two-day event.
For real though, Black, if you need that, I'm serious. If you want to go, let me know. Seriously.
That's it's a day of...
I'm just playing with you. I don't need your help to get anywhere. Look who you're talking to.
It's a two-day event, August 18th to the 19th. It's a two-day event, August 18th and August 19th, at the Atlantic City Convention Center in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And like I said, that website is www.fantasyfootballfest.com. And you'll see all the information there, media, whatever. You'll see it all. All right? With that being said... I'm glad you guys join me. I'll catch you tomorrow if you happen to call in the No Chaser show. Or I'll catch you on the weekend. And Vic,
what up?
You know what you're supposed to say by now, right?
Hey, my name ain't Toby, or Chicken George. Dude.
Come on, Toby. You know what to say.
Kermit. Go ahead. It ain't easy.
Before I say anything, Jeff, you're the only one that still, you know, holds me in high regard, and I appreciate that. My cousin busting my balls, Jerry busting my balls, Black busting my balls. You're the only one that's keeping it. I'm about to get out of in this.
Let me tell you something, Vic. I caught what you normally catch this past Saturday. From Black and Mikel.
Wow.
So I feel you. Trust me, my brother, I feel you, because they handed it to me on Saturday. From two directions. I didn't know what was happening until it happened. So.
Alright.
Don't worry about it, Jerry. Don't even worry about it, Jerry. You're gonna pull right out of it. Don't worry. Your suffering will be over. You know, you don't have to, you know, drum up your camaraderie with him to feel better. Don't worry about it. You'll be able to walk through
whatever.
It, bro.
Jerry's got the whole muck of the show. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Jerry's got one more show, Compassion Team. Bikini Return this Tuesday. Coming up, Kim Fun's back.
Yes.
She's going to do her own thing. But for my extended family that's right here, for Black, my bookie, for Jeff, my joker, for Mike, my real live flesh and blood cousin, and for the ATM, they got to pay me my money because I love them so much too, Gary Taylor, I'm FSP, and you've been listening to...
Yeah. Mr. Encore, fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, lock on.